It's great to see you here this morning, and particularly thrilled if you're new or visiting. So today we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. So having been raised to life, and before he went up to heaven, Jesus gave a really important promise to his disciples. He promised them the Holy Spirit, who would be the way that God would recreate a new people for himself. There's still more to come. A new humanity recreated by God, by his Spirit. So let's start by setting the scene. Grab a Bible and turn to page 1093. Now, if you're younger, you can help out your parents who might need a little help. Their eyesight might not be quite what it wants. And actually, we can all use our Bible binoculars to zoom in on what it says in the passage. Okay, so let's zoom in on the first verse of chapter 2 together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So the disciples, they're in one place, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit back in Jerusalem. Now, what we're looking for next is three Old Testament signs, and we're going to look for them because they're going to help explain what's going on when God sends his Spirit. Okay, so keep your Bible binoculars on, look down, and have a chat in your pews. In verse 2, what is the sign that we can see there? It's not an everyday thing, so it should be quite easy to spot. So have a few seconds, have a chat. Great, have we got it? What's the sign that we see? Yes, death. Oh, not quite. We'll come back to that. Keep hold of that thought. What's in verse 2? Just verse 2. Should we have it on the screen? Does that make it easier? Oh, okay. Yes, Seth. Try it. A violent wind. Yes, excellent. Yeah, you see. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house that they were in. Okay. Can we have a go at a sound effect, do we think? That's a bit of a windy noise. Did you read it? It says a violent wind. Okay, so on three. One, two, three. Much better, much better. Okay, so what Old Testament picture does this remind us of? Well, actually, it points us back right to the start of the Bible, to Genesis. Do you remember when God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils? He breathed life into him. So why are we being reminded of that? Well, back in Genesis, God made Adam to be in his image. He's meant to reflect back what God's character is like. So now, just like in Genesis, we're seeing this new, recreated humanity. They're going to be a people who are filled with life to reflect back God's character. They won't be untrustworthy anymore. They'll be faithful. No longer self-serving, but generous. Not deceitful, but truth-speaking. Not quick to make enemies, but loving. Building people up, not tearing people down. Now, sometimes I look at my Facebook or Instagram feed, and you see pictures of people kayaking, or the perfect selfie, or hot dog legs, holiday snaps. Oh, gosh, that was hard to say. And you can be tempted to think that that is the peak of humanity, all of those perfect pictures in a row for you to swipe through on your phone. It's easy to think that I can't possibly measure up, or that I have to present a similar filtered view of myself for the world, and then maybe people will think I'm perfect too. But actually, those photos aren't humanity at its peak. Humanity at its peak is God's recreated people who have new life breathed into them by the Spirit. And actually, one day, the promise is that they will perfectly reflect back God's character. Okay, so Bible binoculars back on. Let's have a look at verse 3. Zeph's helped us out, so that you know what you're looking for. Have a chat. What was the sign again that we saw in verse 3? Yes, Barnabas? A flame, yes, exactly. So, let's have the verse on the screen. They saw tongues of flame coming down and resting on each of them. That's not an everyday thing. So this is an Old Testament sign that you see every so often as you go through the Bible. Fire and cloud are signs of God's presence. So for example, when the Israelites built the temple and the tabernacle in the Old Testament, they were built to be places where God lived. You saw fire and cloud coming down and resting on them. But where's the fire resting now? It's on top of the disciples, isn't it? God's not up the mountain anymore. He's not in a building. He's not walled off from his people. He's living inside them by his Spirit. Isn't that just such a close, intimate picture? Now, our parents are all generally pretty great, but there are times when they're too busy to talk to you. Maybe it's with work. Maybe it's just that they're busy with your younger brother. But actually, God is never too busy. He lives inside his people, and his people can talk to him whenever they want in prayer. Or what if I struggle with my self-image? What if I'm not sure I fit in all that much, or I'm scared of that people might find out what I'm like under the surface? Well, if you're a Christian, God knows completely what you're like. But he'll live inside you anyway by his Spirit. You could not be more accepted. Right, okay, Bible binoculars back on. Let's have a look at verse 4. Have a look and have a chat in your pews. What is the sign from the Old Testament that we see there? Have a look. Bible binoculars. What sign do we see? Yeah, Joel, is that you? Oh, no, no, hand's gone back down. What sign do we see in verse 4? Speaking in other tongues. Thank you, Sue. Yes. Or other languages. Yeah. So we see that in the verse there. But what on earth does this tell us about God's recreated people? Well, you might remember the Old Testament story of Babel and the people. Got together, they banded up against God, and they built a tower. They built a tower, a little bit like this one. There we go. It took them a while too. And God came down from heaven. And he confused all their languages. He stopped them speaking the same language and scattered them all over the world. And so now in Acts chapter 2, we're seeing God come down from heaven again by his Spirit. But this time he's helping people to speak the same language. He's bringing them back together again. God's recreated people will be united. And this is something that's really, really striking as you read through the book of Acts. You see that in the church. And actually, what's going on is more than just an undoing of Babel, because a few chapters after the one we're in this morning, the church gets scattered again, except this time, not to be in conflict with each other or confusion. It's so that more people all around the world, from all nations, can be united to this new recreated people too. Isn't that amazing? Okay, here's a question. What's the worst bit about school? Maybe spelling tests, possibly the uniform. I think actually it's the playgrounds. Controversial. But yes, it's the place that you have loads of fun and you play loads of games with your friends, but it's also the place where the most arguments happen, where there's name-calling, sometimes even fights. And grown-ups, you know as well that these aren't problems that you just grow out of? How many office memos have you had where someone's left the kitchen in a mess and not tidied it up? Or more seriously, if you've ever been involved in a grievance procedure or anything like that, you'll know just how unpleasant that is. Well, the promise here, though, is that among God's recreated people, this will happen less and less, and they'll be united more and more as they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And actually, even better than that, the promise is that one day they'll be totally united. They'll get on all the time, not some of the time. No fighting, no arguing, ever. And how about those of us that are a bit little longer in the tooth? Do you feel lonely? Statistically, it's likely that you might do. Maybe because you've lost loved ones. Maybe because your physical health is in decline. Maybe you just feel maligned or ignored by younger generations. Well, I'd encourage you this morning to look at the picture of God's recreated people in Acts. It's one of unique, God-given unity, of friendship, of brotherhood and sisterhood, the complete opposite of loneliness and isolation. So, God is recreating a new people for himself, a new humanity who will perfectly live the way they were made to, who will enjoy a close, intimate relationship with God and with one another. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian this morning, I'd ask you, just think about, is that something that you would like to be a part of? Do have a think. Now, if you would call yourself a Christian, I think an obvious thought we might be left with this morning is, oh no, I've never had a time where I've been in a room and there's been a wind and fire and I've spoken other languages all at once. Well, nor have I. But I think that's because Acts chapter 2 is not a step-by-step guide of what you'll see when someone becomes a Christian. Actually, as Peter goes on to explain in the rest of the chapter, these are signs to point people towards Jesus and their need of him for forgiveness of sins. Verse 38 of this chapter actually promises that if we turn to Jesus, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit too and become part of God's recreated people who will one day live the way they're perfectly meant to, who'll enjoy a close, intimate relationship with God and with the rest of the church. That's what happens when someone becomes a Christian. Now, if you don't feel this way, perhaps it's worth talking to God about it. Maybe it's worth praying, either for the first time or for the thousandth. Maybe we need to admit that we've been living differently to God's way. Perhaps we need to recognize that we're far off from him. Perhaps we need to say sorry for the times that we've come into conflict with him and with other people. Or maybe we need to confess that we've tried our hardest to pull ourselves up by our moral bootstraps and still failed. Or maybe we've done good things, but for selfish motives. Maybe when we've prayed, we've done it just because we know it's something we ought to do. Or when we've gone to God, we've just gone with a I want shopping list of things. And maybe we need to be honest that our good relationships and our good standing in the community hides what's really underneath, how we really think, how we really feel, what we really say about other people behind their backs. If that's you, and maybe you've got loads of questions, perhaps afterwards you'd like to come and chat to me or to one of the other members of the church family. But right now, why don't we just pray for God to work in us by his Spirit, to turn us into his recreated people. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your Spirit. Thank you that you sent him to work in us and to turn us into your recreated people. We're sorry that by ourselves we don't live in a way that reflects what you're like. We're sorry that we live lives that drive a wedge between us and you, and between us and other people. Please help us to put our trust in Jesus so that by your Spirit you'll recreate us to perfectly live the way we were made to and enjoy a close, intimate relationship with you and with one another. Amen.